Hi friends, welcome to the National Business Builder Call. This is Executive Consultant Jay Emma from New York, and I'm excited to spend some time with you tonight. I wanted to talk a little bit about some things that have been impactful for me and have been encouraging to me. And as we head into 2022 and we're on the tail end of an incredible event with Simulcast, a lot of us are still thinking about our goals and what we want to accomplish. Maybe you reviewed some of the things that happened last year, and for some of you, maybe you were happy. For some of you, you were not happy. And we can only control two things, and that's our attitude and our action. And those are the only two things we have control over. So I thought I would just try to share some things that might encourage you, empower you to make small changes. So I sort of entitled this talk, Tiny Changes, Tremendous Gains. And I wanted to follow start this conversation with a little bit from the book, The Compound Effect. And there's a reason why we've all heard of the penny, right? The doubling the penny. And in The Compound Effect, he calls it the magic penny. But I want to share this story for a reason, because I'm going to take it in a little bit of a different direction. And so, if you were given a choice between taking $3 million in cash this very instant and a single penny that doubles in value every day for 31 days, which one would you choose? If you've heard this before, the penny gambit is the choice you should make. It's the course that will lead to greater wealth. Yet why is it so hard to believe choosing a penny will result in more money in the end? Because it takes so much longer to see the payoff. Let's take a closer look. Let's say you take the cold hard cash, your friend goes the penny route. On day five, your friend has 16 cents. You, however, have $3 million. On day 10, it's $5.12 versus your big bucks. How do you think your friend is feeling about their decision? You're spending your millions, enjoying the heck out of it, and loving your choice. After 20 days, with only 11 days left, Penny Lane has only $5,243. How is she feeling about herself at this point? For all her sacrifice and positive behavior, she's barely more than $5,000. You have $3 million. Then the invisible magic of compound effect starts to become visible. The same small mathematical growth improvement each day makes the compounded penny worth $10,737,418.24 on day 31, more than three times your $3 million. In this example, we see why consistency over time is so important. On day 29, you've got your $3 million. Penny Lane has $2.7 million. It isn't until day 31 that she pulls ahead with $5.3 million and ends up with almost $11 million, $10,700,000. That's incredible. Very few things are as impressive as the magic of compounding pennies. But here's what I wanted to share that I think is pretty important. None of us are fully operating at the highest potential. And we need to get over ourselves, right? We know that the potential of the compounding penny can do that, right? But none of us, not very few of us, are fully operating, have fully operated, and last year, last month, last week, maybe we've had moments where we've done a little bit. But here's the most beautiful thing about our business. It's the most forgiving business in the world. You can leave if you're a regional consultant, you can leave your business alone for 3 years and do nothing. And you come back and you're a regional consultant. Same thing as a senior, an executive, or a national. And whether you were operating at your full potential or you were operating at half potential or no potential, or maybe you had a good year, a bad year, this is one of the beauties of starting again after Simulcast and looking at 2022 as a new year. We can say, okay, the only thing we can control is what I'm going to do today and tomorrow and moving forward. Another example of not operating at the full potential Think about this simple example. Did you know if we were perfect, you could sponsor two people every month? And did you know that if you duplicated that every month and each person in your business brought two people in every month and that just doubled and kept going, did you know in 2 years you'd have 16 million people in your organization? Do the math. I know it sounds ridiculous. But I'm just telling you, just show you that it's silly to think about perfection. And none of us can, you know, nobody's done that. Maybe the closest person in year one was probably Steve Thompson. I think he surpassed that. Year one, the get two is about 4,000 people. And I think Steve Thompson had about 5,000 consultants in his business and 25,000 plus customers in his first. And maybe he's the only one that fulfilled that potential in the first year. But nobody has 16 million people in the organization, which means so many people have fallen short. Okay, get over it. None of us have done what we're supposed to do in the past. We all have fallen short. Maybe some of us have fallen way short. Some of us have fallen less short than others, but it doesn't matter. That's the past. So we have what's in front of us, and if you want to do a little bit more, you can have more. If you want to do a lot more, you can have a lot more. It really is up to you. So I want to ask a couple of questions, and only you can answer the questions. I'm not going to suggest anybody to do anything because we all have our own individual lives, and I just wanted to have us sort of come to grips with what we want and what we don't want. And these are four powerful questions that I learned years ago when I was in a product-based network marketing company. And these are four questions that I think can serve you well if you answer them honestly and deeply. Okay, so if you've got a pen and paper, write it down. If you're listening to the recording, you've got the benefit of pause, and you can write these down. But the first question is, what do you want? You can just as equally say, what do you not want? And that could mean, you know, income level, recognition level. You know, maybe you don't want to wake up 5 a.m. Maybe you don't want to live in the Northeast. Maybe you want to live in a nicer area, Florida or something. What do you want and what do you not want? And that's something that you're going to have to answer for yourself, but it has to be a real answer. And this applies to every area of our lives, and this is a great question. But there's a sequence to the four questions I'm going to ask, and they must be asked together. It's not just what do you want, because just knowing what you want or what you don't want isn't enough. And, of course, it's got to be a need. It's got to be something you really, really want. And you don't have to tell people. Nobody has to know what you want. You might just want slightly more than what you have. You might want something different than what you have. That's up to you. That's between you and God and your closest friends and family and whoever you want to be accountable to. Nobody can tell you what you can and can't do, who you can and can't be. That's up to you. So the first question is, what do you want? What do you not want? And it's wrapped up in the same. Okay? Next one is, when do you want it? Important, important question. When do you want it? Zig Ziglar says that if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So if you don't have a time frame that you want something, so first, once you figure out what it is you want, then you got to set a time frame. When do you want it? And that's up to you, but you're going to set the time frame. Maybe it's 6 months. Maybe it's a year. Maybe 2 years. Maybe you realize this power of compound, that if you just make some small decisions over time, some big things, you know, can happen. All right, what are you willing to give and give up? Give and or give up. Are you a part of a social club? Do you bowl once a week? Do you need to give that up so you can do more for your business? Do you watch too much TV, spend too much time on Facebook, watch too many YouTube clips? What is it that you need to give up? What is it that you need to give in order to get what you want in that time frame that you want it, right? You said, what do you want? When do you want it? Well, what are you willing to give and give up? Right now, you've got to set something up that aligns with that. And something that's encouraging that I'm always reminded of when I think of that question is Tony Robbins says, never leave the sight of setting a goal without doing something towards its attainment. So right now, alone, you're not accountable to me or anybody to the left or the right of you, your upline, your downline, your crossline. This is you. What are you going to do? What are you going to give up, and what are you going to give? And definitely, what are you going to do, give and give up? Not what are you going to think about possibly maybe doing? And it might just be a very small something, because maybe last week or last month or last year you did nothing. I'm not going to judge you, and I hope you don't judge me. But what are you going to do this week? What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do? Maybe it's put something in your calendar to make a couple of calls. Maybe you're going to text a few people that you wouldn't have texted. I don't know what it is, but you're going to be the one that determines what that is. The important thing is that you go through this process and you're authentic and clear with what you want. What do you want or not want? When do you want it? What are you willing to give up? That's the third question. And the fourth one is, are you willing to fail and get back up until it's accomplished? That's an important question. Are you willing to fail and get back up until it's accomplished? Are you willing to fall down and pick yourself up? Are you willing to struggle and be frustrated and be sad or discouraged or even depressed? And are you willing to get back up? That's something only you can answer. But you've got to have something on the first question that's important enough that makes you answer that question yes. Because sometimes we crawl, sometimes we walk, sometimes we run, and sometimes we rest, because that's all we can do is just rest and hold our position. But don't you dare quit. Don't quit on what you want, because you're not quitting on me. You're not quitting on Ambit Energy. You're quitting on the number one answer, the answer to that first question. What do you want or not want? See, if it's your goal and dream and passion and something that's important to you, as small, as insignificant, or as something that may not be quantifiable to someone else, but if you can create a tangible goal that's important to you and you have a date on it and you have determined what you're willing to give and give up, and you've answered this question, are you willing to fail and get back up until it's accomplished? Are you willing to do what it takes? Like I said, you might crawl, walk, maybe you'll run. Hopefully you can run as often as you can run. And sometimes you rest, and that's just what it is. I've known people to rest for a long time, and then when they get up and run, they accomplished a lot in a short period of time. And just don't quit, because, you know, we know quitters never win and winners never quit. You know, one of the best quotes from any movie was, obviously the Rocky movies are iconic, and in the movie Rocky Balboa, he's talking to his son and he says, the world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it'll beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody's going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. And that's right from Rocky Balboa, one of the greatest motivational, you know, characters of all time. And I love that, you know, the movie. If you haven't seen the last movie, you thought it was funny because he's 65 years old getting in the ring fighting a young guy. But you got to trust that Sylvester Stallone was a pretty smart guy, and he created an incredible script, an incredible movie and character. And it really is a motivational movie for sure. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome movie. So the first question is, what do you want or not want? Next question is, when do you want it? The third question is, what are you willing to give and give up? And the fourth question is, are you willing to fail and get back up until it's accomplished? And again, you know, those are the things that only you can answer. Nobody can, you know, answer them for you. But here's a little encouragement in terms of small decisions, small tiny changes making tremendous gains. Let's take three buddies who all grew up together. They live in the same neighborhood and very similar sensibilities. Each makes around $50,000 a year. They're all married and have average health and body weight, plus a little bit of that dreaded marriage flab. Friend number one, let's call him Larry, plods along, doing as he's always done. He's happy, or at least he thinks, but complains occasionally that nothing ever changes. Friend number two, Scott, starts making some small, seemingly inconsequential positive changes. He begins reading 10 pages of a good book per day and listening to 30 minutes of something instructional or inspirational on his commute to work. Scott wants to see changes in his life, but doesn't want to make a fuss over it. He recently read an interview with Dr. Oz in Success Magazine and chose one idea from an article to implement in his life. He's going to cut 125 calories from his diet every day. No big deal. We're talking about one cup of cereal less, trading that can of soda for a bottled seltzer, switching from mayo to mustard on a sandwich. It's doable. He starts walking a couple extra thousand steps per day, less than a mile. No grand acts of bravery or effort, stuff anybody can do. But Scott's determined to stick to these choices, knowing that even though they're simple, he could easily be tempted to abandon them. Friend number three, Brad, makes a few poor choices. He recently bought a new big screen TV so he can watch more of his favorite programs. He's been trying out the recipes he's seen on the Food Channel. The cheesy casseroles and the desserts are his favorites. Oh, and he installed a bar in his family room and added one alcoholic drink per week to his diet. Nothing crazy. Brad just wants to have a little more fun. At the end of 5 months, no perceivable differences exist among Larry, Scott, or Brad. Scott continues to read a little bit every night and listens to audios during his commute. Brad is enjoying life and doing less. Larry keeps doing as he's always done. Even though each man has his own pattern of behavior, 5 months isn't long enough to see any real decline or improvement in their situations. In fact, if you charted the three men's weights, you'd see a rounding error of zero. They'd look exactly equal. At the end of 10 months, we still can't see noticeable changes in their lives. It's not until we get to the end of the 18th month that the slightest differences are measurable in these three friends' appearances. But at the end of month 25, we start really seeing measurable, visual differences. At month 27, we see an expansive difference. And by month 31, the change is startling. Brad is now fat, while Scott is trim. By simply cutting 125 calories a day in 31 months, Scott has lost 33 pounds. 31 months, 940 days. 940 days at 125 calories a day is 117,500 calories. 117,000 calories divided by 3,500 calories per pound, 33.5 pounds. Brad ate only 125 more calories a day in the same time frame, and he gained 33 pounds. Now he weighs 67 pounds more than Scott, but the differences are more significant than weight. Scott's invested almost 1,000 hours reading books and listening to self-improvement audios. By putting his newly gained knowledge into practice, he's earned a promotion and a raise. Best of all, his marriage is thriving. Brad, he's unhappy at work. His marriage is on the rocks, and Larry's pretty much exactly where he was 2.5 years ago, except now he's just a little bitter about it. The phenomenal power of the compound effect is that simple. The difference between people who employ the compound effect for their behavior, for their benefit, compared to their peers who allow the same effect to work against them is almost inconceivable. It looks miraculous, like magic or quantum leaps. After 31 months, the person who uses the positive nature of the compound effect appears to be an overnight success. In reality, his or her profound success was the result of small, smart choices, completely, consistently over time. And it's the ripple effect. That's right from the compound effect from Darren Hardy. Powerful, right? So I want you to think about right now. Take a minute and just think, you know, what can you do What kind of small choices can you commit to right now for your life, for your business? What is it that you can write down that you can commit to? And that's why I ask those four questions. You know, what do you want or not want? When do you want it? What are you willing to give or give up? And are you willing to fail and get back up until it's accomplished? And so when I read those stories, I want you to think about a lot of different little things that you can do. We only control our action and our attitude. And what can you do on a regular basis? What small changes can you make that will make a major, major difference? Here's another thing. I want to read another powerful story from the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. The fate of British cycling changed one day in 2003. The organization, which was the governing body for professional cycling in Great Britain, had recently hired Dave Brailsford as its new performance manager. At the time, professional cyclists in Great Britain had endured nearly 100 years of mediocrity. Since 1908, British riders had won just one single gold medal at the Olympic Games, and they'd even fared even worse in cycling's biggest race, the Tour de France. In 110 years, no British cyclist had ever won the event. In fact, the performance of British riders had been so underwhelming that one of the top bike manufacturers in Europe refused to sell bikes to the team because they were afraid that it would hurt sales if other professionals saw the Brits using their gear. Brailsford had been hired to put British cycling on a new trajectory. What made him different from previous coaches was his relentless commitment to a strategy he referred to as the aggregation of marginal gains, which was the philosophy of searching for a tiny margin of improvement in everything you do. Brailsford said, the whole principle came from the idea that if you broke down everything you could think of that goes into riding a bike, and then improve it by 1%, you will get a significant increase when you put them all together. Brailsford and his coaches began by making small adjustments you might expect from a professional cycling team. They redesigned the bike seats to make them more comfortable and rubbed alcohol on the tires for a better grip. They asked riders to wear electrically heated overshorts to maintain ideal muscle temperature while riding, and they used biofeedback sensors to monitor how each athlete responded to a particular workout. The team tested various fabrics in a wind tunnel and had their indoor riders switch to indoor racing suits, which proved to be lighter and more aerodynamic. But they didn't stop there. Brailsford and his team continued to find 1% improvements in overlooked and unexpected areas. They tested different types of massage gels to see which one led to fastest muscle recovery. They hired a surgeon to teach each rider the best way to wash their hands to reduce the chances of catching a cold. They determined the type of pillow and mattresses that led to the best night's sleep for each rider. They even painted the inside of the team truck white, which helped them spot little bits of dust that would normally slip by unnoticed that could degrade the performance of the finely tuned bikes. As these and hundreds of other small improvements accumulated, the results came faster than anyone could have imagined. Just 5 years after Brailsford took over the British team, the British cycling team dominated the road and track cycling events in 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing, where they won an astounding 60% of the gold medals available. 4 years later, when the Olympic Games came to London, the Brits raised the bar as they set 9 Olympic records and 7 world records. That same year, Bradley Wiggins became the first British cyclist to win the Tour de France. The next year, his teammate Chris Froome won the race, and he would go on to win in 2015, 2016, and 2017, giving the British team 5 Tour de France victories in 6 years. During a 10-year span from 2007 to 2017, British cyclists won 178 world championships and 66 Olympic or Paralympic gold medals and captured 5 Tour de France victories in what is widely regarded as the most successful run in cycling history. How does this happen? How does a team of previously ordinary athletes transform into world champions with tiny changes that at first glance would seem to make a modest difference at best? Why do small improvements accumulate into such remarkable results, and how can you replicate this approach in your own life? This is from the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. I'd recommend you read it, but I also recommend you write down 5, 10, 20, 50, 100 little things that would be so tiny and easy for you to change in your life, and then do them. And if you start with one, that's great. Maybe in a week you can have three or four. Maybe there's a little notebook that you keep that you write down my atomic habits, or you write down the tiny changes I'm going to make for tremendous gains. Whatever you have to do to identify those little, tiny, small things. Everyone on this call, if you're a new consultant, within a few days or a few weeks, you're going to learn the basics of what it takes to build your business. And so I'm not going to tell anyone what to do. You know that the system is pretty simple and straightforward. I mean, somehow you gather a handful of customers. Somehow you teach other people how to do the same thing. That's it. We gather a handful of loyal customers. We help other people do the same thing. The degree to which we do that, how often we do that, how much we do that, that's up to us. And some of that motivation comes from the answer to those four questions I asked before. And maybe there's a few things, a few quantifiable action steps that you can take to help you do that. And that's why I read from Atomic Habits, because, you know, Brian McClure says it all the time, right? All the positive thinking in the world's not going to do anything. It's massive positive action. Well, that's up to you. What kind of massive positive action are you going to put into your business, into your life, into your health, into whatever area of your life that you want to make improvement? The good news is all of us know that we can do more, we can do better, we can improve. And the reason why I read the story, the fact is the 16 million consultants in 2 years, it's silly, right? So just all of us know what's possible. The penny doubled every day is, you know, almost $11 million in 31 days. And if you sponsored two people tomorrow and everybody did the same thing the following month, that too becomes 4,000 at the end of the year. And the end of the second year, it's 16 million people in your business. Do you think that would be a good organization? Yeah. Chances are, nope, that's not going to happen. But maybe you can do more than you did yesterday, or more than you did last week or last month or last year. And maybe you won't, but being on this call is maybe a step in the right direction for you. Maybe that'll hold you in for another month, because you're either going to walk, you're going to run, you're going to crawl. Sometimes you rest, but don't you dare quit. Don't you dare quit, because you never know what could change. Something, that there could be a person you meet that has a friend or a family member, and some of the richest blessings in your life could come from something that happens tomorrow or next week. And if you're negative, if you're not involved, if you're not putting one foot in front of the other and trying to make some progress in some way, you're gonna miss out on something. I don't know what you're gonna miss out on, but you're gonna miss out on something. And I don't want to miss out on something, and I hope you don't either. And because the potential is too great. There's too many stories of people whose lives have been changed in lots of different ways. More time, more money, more freedom, more choices, more significance in the lives of other people, more relationships, richer meaning and purpose. And what about free energy? I know there's people on this call that don't have free energy right now. What if I shared this information with you and you were motivated, and some of you just gathered a few more customers and you got free energy credit that you weren't receiving before? Would that make a difference in your life? It might make a big difference. Might make a bigger difference than you can even imagine. because we don't really know what tomorrow brings. But what you do know is that you have to be in it to win it, and you've got to be connected and engaged in order to have the possibility of moving forward. And I'm proud of everyone on this call. I'm proud of everyone listening to this recording. And the choice is up to us. We can answer those questions any way we want to answer them. And I'm not going to judge you, and I hope you don't judge me on how I answer those questions for myself, because it's very easy, you know, to say, instead of me being an executive consultant with some executive consultants in my business, I certainly could be a national consultant with some national consultants in my business. And there are people listening to this that are national consultants with national consultants in their business, and they could have more national consultants, and they could be a double national. They could be way beyond where they are. Are they going to beat themselves up? Am I going to beat myself up, or am I going to say, I am where I am? Moving forward, what do I want or not want? What am I willing to give up? When do I want it? What am I willing to give or give up? And am I willing to fail and get back up until it's accomplished? Those are only I can answer those questions for myself. So I hope you answer those questions for yourself, and I hope that we as an Ambit family can encourage each other to move forward in whatever ways we decide to move forward in our lives. Life is too short to be anything but positive and optimistic and encouraging and supportive. And that's why I love this family, this Ambit family we have, because it's beautiful. Because in the regular workaday world, it's usually it's a competition, and people are trying to drag each other down, because if you can drag someone down, that maybe there's a better opportunity for yourself. It really doesn't work in the regular world either, but somehow there's more people that are encouraging and optimistic and supportive and patting you on the back in this business, because this is a special culture and a special family that has been started by incredible leaders, and it's up to us how to move that culture forward. It's up to us to be a part of the solution, a part of the future dream, whatever that means for you. So I hope you wrote down some things for yourself, and I hope this short message was encouraging. And I know I did a bunch of reading from some books, from The Compound Effect and from Atomic Habits, but I just thought I was encouraged by the freshness of the new year and the fact that each of us has a choice to pursue whatever we want to pursue. And sometimes small, little, tiny gains aren't so small and tiny. And sometimes they're not even perceived by other people and recognized by other people. And it doesn't matter. What matters is what's important to you. And are you authentically and passionately pursuing what is important and specifically important to you? And I hope you are. And thanks for this time. Love you guys. And I'm going to unmute. And so give me about 5 seconds here to unmute. And we'll say good night.